Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Samach Vav, page 66. We were on the last line of Samach Hayamid Beis. The Mishnah taught us that when it came time to cut the omer, to cut the new barley, to make out of this new barley the Minchas HaOmer, it was a very big spectacle. All the people near Yerushalayim would come. Right when Yom Tov would end, the Kohanim would go out, three Kohanim, with sickles and boxes, and it would be a big event. They would say, we can pass this to, oh, you have a Gemara, Lior?
No.
Yeah. They would say, okay, is it night yet? Is it Shabbos? If it was Shabbos, is it Shabbos? Should we be cutting? Should we put into the box? And they would ask each question three times. Everyone would say yes three times.
Yes, yes, yes.
And finally, should we cut? Yes, cut, cut, cut. Why such a big deal? To prove the Tzedukim and Baitusim wrong. Because the Baitusim would say that since they take the text so literally, the Torah talks about counting the Omer Mimacharat HaShabbat, on the morrow after Shabbos, they would say, no, you don't cut the day after Yom Tov. You don't start counting the day after Yom Tov. You wait till the Sunday. Whatever Sunday is soonest to Yom Tov, it could be, you know, if Yom Tov is on a Thursday, it would be a couple days later. If Yom Tov is actually on Monday, it'll be a while later. But whatever Sunday is soonest, that Sunday is when you cut the Omer, and that Sunday is when we start counting Sfiras HaOmer. That's what they used to say. And we wanted to prove them wrong. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, we want to prove them wrong. What's the Pasuk, in fact? So we quoted a Braisa with a whole series of opinions. And now we're on another Braisa with another series of opinions. What's the source that the Omer is done on the day after Yom Tov? So starting again, we'll start again with this Braisa. It's, I guess, almost like 10 lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbanu Lidin Braisa. Usfaratim Lachem. This is Braisa number 2. The verse says, Usfaratim Lachem, you should count. The fact that it says Usfaratim Lachem, that means each person has to count. Mimachar says Shabbos, since it says on the morrow of the Shabbos, it really means Mimachar of Yom Tov, the day after Yom Tov. Maybe it means the day after a Shabbos, namely a Sunday. So Rabbi Yosef viewed Omer, the source why it's not a Sunday, is Harei Omer, since it says Tisbru Chamishim Yom. You should count 50 days. That means Kol Sfiro Shata Sofilo Yuel Chamishim Yom. However way you're counting, it's always going to be 50 days. The 50th day is going to be Shavuos. It's not going to be that some years 52, other years 53. We're going to say we start counting the day after the Shabbos, literally the Sunday, so it could be longer. Im Tomer Machos Shabbos Bereishis, it was going to be the day after Shabbos Bereishis. Pamshatim Lotzei Chamishim V'Echad. Sometimes you're going to be counting 51 days. Pamshatim Lotzei Chamishim V'Shnayim. Sometimes it'll be 52 days till you get to Shavuos. Sometimes it'll be Chamishim V'Shalosh. Sometimes Chamishim V'Arba. Sometimes Chamishim V'Chamisha. Sometimes Chamishim V'Shisha. Sometimes it'll be 56 days. So that's why it can't be that. It must be the morrow after Yom Tov, not the Sunday after a Shabbos. A question?
How would it ever be more than 50 days?
Because if,
Sunday,
let's say,
you start counting
from Sunday, so from when you from Pesach until Shavuos is going to be more than 50 days.
But you're not counting more than 50 days.
Good. That Gemara is going to point out that's one of the problems with this opinion. That it's not such a great proof because you could give that question. All right, next is what we had gotten up to yesterday. Rabbi Yehuda Maseiro, says, Ein Otzarech. I don't need that source. I have a different source. Harei Omer says, Tispar Lach. Where it says, Shiva Shavuos, Tispar Lach. We saw a similar proof yesterday. So it's saying, you shall count for you. That means, Sfira Tzliya Bebezdin. Who's Lach? That's the court. It means the counting is done by the court, and it's really, I mean, saying each individual counts, but we need the court for the counting. Now, so if we need the court for the counting, it means you have to look to the court, see what day they set up to be Pesach, and from there we start counting. That means that we're not counting from the day after a Shabbos or Sunday, we're counting from the day after Yom Tov. So Yatz the Shabbos Bereishis, so that excludes the Shabbos of the creation, namely Sunday. Just for Yosef B'chalatim, because that's something counted by every person. Every person knows when Shabbos is, Shabbos Bereishis is. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi said, Mimachas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos means Mimachas Yom Tov. It means the day after Yom Tov. Ato Mimachas Yom Tov, you're telling me it means the day after Yom Tov. Oh, ain't El Mimachas Shabbos Bereshit, maybe it is a Sunday. Amrit, so think about it. V'chinamra Mimachas HaShabbos Shabbatoch HaPesach. Does the Torah say the day after the Shabbos in Pesach? It just says Mimachas HaShabbos. Right? It just says the tomorrow after the Shabbos. If you're going to say that the tomorrow after Shabbos means literally a Sunday, you don't know which Sunday it is. The whole year is filled with Sundays. How do you know this Sunday? The whole year is filled with Sundays. So how do you know it's this Shabbos? So stay Vadoke is a Shabbos. So therefore go out and find which Shabbos are we referring to. How do we know which Shabbos? Okay, and if you don't like this answer, I've got another answer, says Rabbi Yossi. Namra Shabbos Lamata. It says Shabbos in regards to Pesach. Machas HaShabbos. Namra Shabbos Lamala. And it says Shabbos in regards to Shtei Alechem, in regards to Shavuos. It says, Adni Machas HaShabbos HaShviyas Tisbru Chamishim Yom Yikrav Min Chadasha. And it says, by Pesach, Usfat Machem, Mimachas HaShabbos. Amala Halim, so just like in regards to Shavuos. Regular tchilas regel. Right after the seventh week, you have the beginning of the holiday. You have Shavuos, Afkan, so too in regards to the Omer. Regular tchilas regel. When is it that you're going to be counting the Omer? Right after a holiday. In other words, right after Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. Another idea. In this price, Reb Shimon Elazar says, I'll tell you the source that we are counting the Omer on the second day of Pesach and not on a Sunday. Chasav Echad Omer, one verse says, Sheishas Yom Toch Al Matzos. You should eat matzos for 6 days. Chasav Echad Omer, another verse says, Shivas Yom Matzos Tochelu. For 7 days you should eat matzos. It's a contradiction. Do you eat matzos for 6 days or do you eat matzos for 7 days? The answer is that the verse is to teach us this very point. Okay, Tzai, how does it work? Matzah shi'atzi yachal ochla shiva. Min achadash. Atzi yachal ochla shisha. Min achadash. The point of the verse is, there's a certain matzah that you can't eat for 7 days, but you could eat it for 6 days. In other words, the new grain. If you're going to use the new grain to make matzah, so then you can eat it for 6 days, but you can't eat it for 7 days. Because the first day of Pesach you couldn't eat, but the second day of Pesach you could eat, because at that point already the Minchas Omer would have been brought. So that's what's going on here. Why does it say eat matzahs for 7 days and it says eat matzahs for 6 days? What it's saying is there's certain matzahs you can eat for 7 days, matzahs from the old grain. There are other matzahs you can only eat for 6 days, matzos from the new grain. And that's the source that the new grain is only 6 days, because when are you bringing the Karban Omer? You're bringing it on the second day of Pesach. You're not bringing it on the Sunday of Pesach. You're bringing it on the second day of Pesach. So that's the source.
We allowed, according to this, to make matzot at Pesach?
Yes. Yes. No, you have to be careful.
That's the problem. You told me I can't make chametz. I asked many years ago.
Right. It's dangerous. But they used to in the times of the Gemara. They used to make Pesach. They used to make matzahs.
We're not that good.
We're not as good anymore. That's exactly right.
Let me go to this.
Okay, so now another Braisa. Teaching about this Pasuk. Or it's actually the continuation of this Braisa. So, we went through many proofs. I think it's 5 or 6 here. That the day of counting and the day of bringing the Omer is not Sunday, even though the language of the Pasuk is Mimachas HaShabbos. But here, Shabbos doesn't mean Sunday. Here, Shabbos means Yom Tov of Pesach. Either Hekesh, words, all right. Now let's go on to other words in this Pasuk. Miyom Aviyachem Tispru. From the day that you bring the Omer, that's when you start counting Sfiras HaOmer. You count every night then, from then and on. So you get to Shavuos. So it says the Braisa, Yachol Yiktzar V'Yavi. Maybe, okay, you've proven that the day after Pesach you have to cut the new grain. And then you have to bring a minchas omer. But maybe they must ashir to yispar. Maybe you count whenever you want. Maybe you don't have to count that day. You can count some other day. Just after the bringing of the omer, then you start counting. But you can count maybe a couple days later. That's when you start the count. It's up to you. Tamalom, and that's who the verse goes on to say, Mehachel Chermesh Bakama. From the beginning of the harvesting of that which is standing, of the grain standing, Tachel Ispor. At that point, you start counting. Okay, so that means you have to count from the second day of Pesach. Mehachel Chermesh Bakama, Tachel Ispor. Then I might think that you cut the new grain. The yispar, you count for yasa omer. In terms of bringing the omer, you bring it whenever you want, maybe a couple days later. That's what the verse says. That you're counting from the day that you bring it, that you brought the omer that was waived. That tells you that you bring the omer on the same day that you begin counting, which has to be me'achel chemesh bakama, from the beginning of the harvesting. Which means you start counting and you bring the omer and you start harvesting all on the same day, the second day of Pesach. If it's all from this source, from the day that you bring, that's when you should count. Maybe you harvest because of a hachel chermesh. And you count, but you only count and you bring the omer the next day. In other words, you harvest. Maybe you do it all by day, not at night. That's what the verse says. You have to have a total of 7 complete weeks by the time you get to Shavuos. So to have a complete week, that means you're not counting by day, you're counting the night before to have the full 24 hours. When do you get, do you find 7 complete weeks? When you begin your counting in the evening. Asks the Gemara another question. Yachol Yiktzar. Maybe you cut down that night, v'yavi, and you actually bring the omer at night, v'yispor balayla, and you start counting at night. Tam lomer, again, going back to the verse says, miyom aviyachem. And the day that you bring, that's when you count. So he's saying, you're bringing by day, not that you're bringing at night. Okay, so what's the conclusion out of all of these sources? K'tziro sfira balayla, the cutting is done at night, the beginning of the count is at night, the bringing of the omer is by day. This is the brisa. So we had 2 brisas. We had 1 big brisa yesterday with a bunch of opinions, and now a second brisa today with a whole other series of opinions, all to tell us that the Baitusim and the Tzedukim are wrong. Even though the Torah says mimacharasa Shabbos, on the morrow of the Sabbath you should count, what it really means is on the day after Yom Tov Rishon, Shal Pesach, on the second day of Pesach, you harvest, you start counting, and you bring the Omer. Amar Rava, Rava said, when I look at all of these brisos, Kulu Islu Pirchi, a lot of these opinions have questions that really disprove them, as David pointed out. Bar Mitarte Tanoi Basroi. The exceptions are the last 2 Tanoim. Bim Masnisa Kamaisa, that's true in the first brisa. Maybe Masnisa Basraisa, that's true in the last Braisa. The last Luhu Pircha, the last 2 opinions in each Braisa can't be disproven. Okay, so now let's go through all these opinions and disprove them. We'll start with the first. Imad Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if we're going to learn from the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that we said yesterday. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, it says, Tisprou Chamishim Yom, you're going to count 50 days. Then it says, Sheva Shabbos Tamimus Tiyana. You're going to count 7 complete Shabbos. That means you're ending with a Shabbos. So that means it's not days. The answer is, if you started on Sunday, then you end with Shabbos. If you're not starting on Sunday, you end with Chamishim Yom, 50 days. If that was his point, I'll tell you something else. The reason for these 2 psukim is for something else. Dilma Kedah Abaye. The reason for the 2 psukim is the idea of Abaye. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, Mitzvah L'mimni Yomi, Mitzvah L'mimni Shvui. There's a mitzvah to count days and a mitzvah to count weeks. We say today is the 8th day of the Omer, which is 1 week and 1 day. We have to mention the week, plus we mention the day. Why? Because one pasuk says 7 complete Shabbosos, and the other pasuk says count 50 days. But it's not that the 50 days is to teach me that sometimes you're going to end up in the middle of a week, and the 7 Shabbosos that sometimes you're going to end up with Shabbos. No, the point is to teach you something else. You're supposed to count weeks, and you're supposed to count days. All right, in me, Rebbe Lezer, if you're going to say that the source is Rebbe Lezer's proof, who said again yesterday. And since it says Sheva Shabasa, Sheva Shavuos Tispar Lach, 7 weeks, you will count, as we saw also in the beginning today. Lach means it's up to Beis Din. That means it's not based on Shabbos, it's based on Yom Tov, because Yom Tov is in the hands of Beis Din. Or if you're going to say the source is Rabbi Yoshua, that just like Rosh Chodesh, you know when you're starting, so too, when it comes to Sfira Soma, you have to know when you're starting. So that means you have to start with the first day, not that you're starting on Shabbos, because Shabbos can change based on the year. But it's still not a proof. Who says that we're referring to this, that the start date is the first day of Yom Tov? Then we'll be Yom Tov Achron Kai. Yes, you need to have a certain start date that's consistent every year, but maybe the start date's not Yom Tov Rishon. Maybe it's Shvi Yishol Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach, which is also a Yom Tov. And yes, we have to look at Beis Din, so then we're looking at a at Yom Tov, not at a Shabbos. But again, maybe the Yom Tov is not the first day of Yom Tov. It could be the last day of Yom Tov. It could be Shvi Yishol Pesach. But Rabbi Yishmael, the drasha of Rabbi Yishmael, who says that we learn the Karban Omer from Shtei Alechem, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, which we learned today, who said that it's Shabbos about the beginning of the counting. It says Shabbos about the end of the counting, so that means that they both have to be the same. That last Lu Pircha, that there's no disproof. All right, now going to today's Braisa. They're going to say, based on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who said that from the fact that it says Chamishim Yom, it means Shavuos always has to be 50 days after Pesach. Not that sometimes it'll be 52, or 53, or 54, or 55, or 56. No, Havamin, I might have thought David's point. Dilma Chamishim Levar Mehanishita. Right? If you want to say 56 days, it's still you counted 50 days. 50 days, besides the 6 that you waited till you started to count. If it's from the idea of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, learned it from the fact that it says Shiva Shavuos Tispar Lach, it's up to Beis Din. 7 weeks you will count. You have to look at when Beis Din made the day, not Shabbos, because Shabbos is not made by Beis Din. Again, we might have Yom Tov Rishon Kli, who says it's referring to the day that Beis Din makes, which is the first Yom Tov. Then we'll be Yom Tov Achron Kli. Maybe it's referring to the day Beis Din makes, which is Shvi Yishol Pesach, also a Yom Tov. And Rabbi Yossi Nami Chazi Lepircha. Rabbi Yossi also has this problem. Because Rabbi Yossi says, Mimachas HaShabbos can't be the day after Shabbos, because you have lots of Shabbos throughout the year. How do you know which Shabbos it is? It must be it's the day after Yom Tov. Yeah, but maybe it's not the day after the first day of Yom Tov, it's the day after the seventh day of Pesach, because that's a Yom Tov. So therefore, Vayna to come and vote, that's what Rabbi Yossi himself says. And I have another reason. But the last two explanations, there's no problems with that. Gufa, we learned before in the Brais, Amar Abaye, Abaye taught, Mitzvah l'mim niyomi, u'mitzvah l'mim nishvut. There's a mitzvah to count days, and a mitzvah to count weeks, as Firas HaOmer. However, not everybody did this. Rabbanan de Ravashi, the rabbis in the yeshiva of Ravashi, manu yomi, u'mani shvui. They would count days and count weeks when they would count Firas HaOmer. But Ameimar, Mani Yomi, Velo Mani Shvui. Ameimar, when he would count Sfira Soma, he would just count the day without the weeks. Amar, he explained. Zechel HaMikdashu. Nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So really, we don't have a biblical mitzvah of counting Sfira Soma anymore. Because the biblical mitzvah of counting Sfira Soma is with the Omer. The day after, once you bring the Omer, then you count. But we don't have an Omer, unfortunately. So therefore, why are we counting? Just Zechel HaMikdash, to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Well, if it's just a memorial, we don't have to do it the right way. We can do just a little bit. We can just count the days without counting the weeks. Okay, now we get to the next Mishnah. Again, going back to the excitement of the bringing of the Omer. Now, the Torah, when it describes the Omer, the Torah uses all sorts of words. The Torah says, in chapter 2 of Vayikra.
I'm sorry, Rabbi. Yes. So if this thing with the Omer, so why do we make a bracha and everything?
If it's Zeichel HaMikdash. Right. That's also a reason to make a bracha. Even a Zeichel HaMikdash deserves a bracha. For example, we shake lulav 7 days, also just Zeichel HaMikdash. We make a bracha 7 days.
But this mitzvah
taseh,
no?
Tishkeru lachem. Right, but that's only with the Omer. If you don't have the Omer, then not. Now the Torah describes the Karban Minchas HaOmer in chapter 2 of Vayikra. The Im Tzakriv Minchas Bikurim LaHashem. And if you will bring a Mincha Bikurim LaHashem. What does that mean, a Mincha Bikurim? It means it's from the first grain. Aviv, Aviv, it just ripened. And then all these other beautiful adjectives, kalui ba'esh, toasted in fire, caramelized in fire. Geresh, broken up, Carmel, and it's Carmel grain. Takriv es minchas pikurecha. That's how you will bring the offering of your first. So lots of interesting adjectives. We'll see what that actually means. Now the Mishnah. Tzaru, after they cut down the new barley, vinasnu bakupos, they would put it into boxes. Heviu lazar, they bring all of this grain, huge amount, 3 sa'im, in, or sometimes 5 sa'im, into the azara of the temple. They would light a lot of fires in the temple to be able to see what they had to do. So, 2 opinions. At what point would they caramelize it? Now, caramelizing it is by toasting it in fire. According to opinion number 1, Hayu Mahavin Oso Ba'or. First thing, right when they bring it in, they would put fires up and they would pass it through fires. They Lekayim Bo Mitzvahs Kali, Divrei Rabbi Meir, to fulfill the mitzvah of Kali, of making it into caramelized. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Chacham say no. First, they would do the threshing, but they don't do the threshing with a board. They don't do it with sticks. Because it's new grain, which is still soft, they use kanim v'kolchos. They use cabbage. They use stalks. And with that, chovten oso, they pound this grain, this barley. They don't use sticks so that it not get crushed. Then nasnu l'avuv. Then they would put it into this utensil called the avuv, which was a copper utensil with all sorts of holes. Avuv hayu minukav. The copper avuv was a utensil, sort of like this flat pan with holes in it. Why did it have holes? Kedeshi or sholit mekulo, so that the fire, the flames, will rule over all of it, and all of it will get toasted. All right. So then they would toast it in the fire at that point, according to this opinion, according to the chacham. Then after it was toasted, after the grains were toasted, shatchu ba'azara, they would spread it out in the azara, va'aruach ben ha'shevespo, and the wind would now blow away the chaff. Then they'd bring into the azara a special millstone that was used to grind up peas. Nasnu l'rechayim shel grusos, and they'd put the barley into this millstone, the rechayim of the pieces. And then they would grind it, then they would sift it many times. They would sift the wheat, the flour, 13 times. They would sift it with 13 sifters. Then they'd have something really, really nice. Okay, that's the solas that's going for the carbon. What do you do with everything else? Hashar, all the leftovers. Nifta, they would redeem. And then and anybody would be able to eat it, because it would no longer have Kedusha. However, that other flour and grain and chaff, the other stuff that's redeemed, if it's made into a dough, once it becomes a dough, you have to separate challah, because when it comes to the mitzvah of challah, giving challah to the Kohen, it's the dough that creates the obligations. Once it was made into a dough, they give the challah. However, upatamina meiser would be exempt from meiser, because meiser, the obligation of giving the 10% to the Levi and 2% to the Kohen, meiseros, that obligation is created by the miruach, by the smoothing out of a pile. When you cut all the wheat, and you pile it up, and you smooth out the pile, the smoothing creates the obligation. But here, when the pile of wheat was smoothed out, it belonged to Hektesh, it wasn't redeemed yet. So when Hektesh does the smoothing, it doesn't create an obligation of meiser. However, Rabbi Akiva machayev b'chaluv ha'maisos. Rabbi Akiva says the same way it's obligated in challah. The leftovers are obligated in maisos. Does he hold that the smoothing is not the point of obligation? We'll have to see. The Gemara will have an explanation for Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan Gana Braisa, Aviv, the verse says, Aviv, say Aviv. That means it has to be the spring. It has to be the beginning of the harvesting. Then the Torah describes this minchas bikurim, the mincha, the first mincha, is kali ba'esh, toasted in fire. Malame, that teaches her, Yisrael mahavin osu ba'esh, k'day l'kayim ba'mitzvah is kali divrei Rabbi Meir. Says that means that right when they would bring it into the Azara, the Jews would make these big bonfires and put the grain into the fire to toast it, to make it dry. However, what's that? According to Rabbi Meir, they first toast and then grind. The Chacham say, no. Ain or lashon kali. The word or is not the translation of the word kali. So what does kali mean? Ela davar acher. Kali means that they put it into a utensil. They put it into the avuv, and then they put the fire through the avuv. Lishnach read another explanation. Ein lashon kalui, ela davar kalil. The word kali means kalil. In other words, it means something made out of light copper. What's made out of light copper? The avuv, again, that they put it onto the utensil, and in that way, through the fire. Haketzah, the Bryce explains, the view of Lechachamim, Abuv shel klayos hayasham. There was this utensil of those who sell klayos. Klayos are toasted wheats, caramel. Vayamenukav kekavre, we had holes like a sifter. So that the fire gets through all of it and toasts all of the grain. Then the verse continues. It says, Aviv kalui gerish. Gerish means ground up. So any yodea, if we just would have said that, Aviv kalui gerish, any yodeim aviv kaluyim gerish kali. Do we take the new grain and toast that? Or do we first grind the grain and then toast what's ground? Kishomer ba'esh. Since it says aviv kalui ba'esh and then gerash, if sekainin, it's saying that first you toast it and then you grind it. Then it says karmel. What does karmel mean? Karmel actually is two words put together. That's called nutrikom. You have two words put together. It means rach v'mal, that the grain is still soft v'mal, and it's very easy just by rolling it to separate the grain pieces from the chaff. So now the Gemara goes through a tangent, all sorts of words that are acronyms. V'chein Omer, the verse says in Malachim, V'ish ba mi baal shalisha, a man came from baal shalisha, V'yabel isha elokim lechem bikurim, he brought to the man of God bread that was from the first, the esrim lechem seorim, and 20 loaves of barley, the charmel b'tziklono, and carmel in his tziklon, v'yomer tein la'am v'yochelu, give to the people in the sheet. So what is tziklono? Again, it's nutrikin, like the word carmel. It's a combination of words. The word tziklono is a combination of words. What it means is tziklono stands for bi. Tziklono stands for ba. Come. V'yatzaklanu, and he poured for us. Then v'vav v'achalnu, we ate. V'naveh'aya, and it was delicious. So sometimes the word bitziklono actually stands for a whole sentence. Well, we have another verse in Mishlei. The verse says, L'cha, let us go, near Vedodim, let us be filled with affections. Ada boker, till the morning. Nit al-sa b'ahavim. Nit al-sa, in love. What is nit al-sa? It means like this. Nisa v'nitain, let us give and take. That's the nun tough. Then al-sa means v'na'ale, let's go up to bed. Sa nismach, we'll be happy, v'nischate, and we'll walk around ba'ahavim, in affections. For him, there's another verse. Knaf renanim ne'elasa. So what does that mean? Knaf renanim ne'elasa. Again, the word ne'elasa is referring to this bird, ostrich. Renanim.
Ostrich.
The ostrich. No say, the ostrich carries its egg. Ve'ole ne'elasa, the nun of ne'elasa is no say, he carries his eggs. The ayin is ole, he goes up. V'nischate, and he lowers his egg there. And so that's v'nischate, ne'elasa, he lowers his egg there. Well, now we have another verse, again, which is a nutrikon, which is a combination of words in one word. The verse says in Bamidbar, to Bilam, that the angel says to Bilam, why did you hit your female donkey three times? Hine anochi yatzasi l'satan, I came out to give him a hard time. Ki yarat haderech linegdi. What does the word yarat mean? It means yaraisa. It's a combination of three words. Yarat, the yud is yaraisa, the donkey was afraid. Reish is ra'asa, because she saw the angel. And Tess is natsa, she strayed off. So now another idea of what the word Carmel is. The Be'er Bishmael Tana in the Yeshiva of Yishmael, they said Carmel doesn't stand for you rub the grain and it exits the chaff, but rather it means Kar Malay, that the container is complete. In other words, the chaff is complete, that the kernels of grain have fully ripened. Okay, the last part of today's daf deals with the topic that I mentioned quickly, that what obligates grain in Trumos and Maestros is the moment of Miruach. That's the Gemar, that's the completion of the formation, that's the completion of the process of the harvesting. So once the grain pile is smoothed out, that's when the obligation starts. So what did the Mishnah say? Rabbi Akiva said, Mechayev b'chalav ha'maisos. Rabbi Akiva says that the leftovers are obligated in challah, because they're made into dough, and in maestros. So what's the explanation of Rabbi Akiva? So Amrav Kahana, Rav Kahana said, he thinks Omrah Rabbi Akiva, Me ruach hekdesh eino poter. Rabbi Akiva holds that even though it was smoothed out, the pile was smoothed out when it belonged to Hekdesh before it was redeemed, but the Miruach of Hekdesh does not create an exemption of Maestros. Kavil, the time for Talmud comes later, 6:16.
17.
Oh. Okay, so a little bit. So Master Rav Sheshes asked, what do you mean that the, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Miruach doesn't create an exemption? But we learned, Mosar Shalosh Sain Alalu, the leftovers of these three saw of new barley that's harvested, Mahayu Osin, but what they do with it, Nivta. First of all, they would redeem it with money, and it would lose its holiness. And then Menechal Chal Adam, anybody could eat it. V'chayav v'chala. Then once it's made into dough, they would have to separate chala to the Kohen. Upotim and Amaisis, but it was exempt from Maiser because at the time of Miruach, at the time of being smoothed out, it belonged to Hekdesh. Rabbi Akiva Machayev b'chalu v'maisos. Rabbi Akiva says it is obligated in chala, and it's also obligated in maestros. Amru lo, so the sages say to Rabbi Akiva, why are you obligating in maestros? But we know, podeh miyad gizbar, that if anyone redeems food from a gizbar, in other words, if Hekdesh has grain and somebody buys the grain back, that should be a yochiach, that should be a proof, shechayev b'chala, that grain, yes, is going to be obligated in a challah once it becomes a dough, upatim in ha-maisos, and it's exempt from maiser. Then he said, if you're right, the miruach hekdesh eino poter, that when hekdesh smoothed it out, it didn't become exempt. So my kamile, so what's their proof to him? Maybe Akiva disagrees with that. He, that's the point of his disagreement. But in another problem, Eisrei Rav Kahana bar Tachlifa or Rav Kahana? Rav Kahana, the son of Tachlifa, asked Rav Kahana, the son of Matatya, who said that the reason of Rabbi Akiva is that when Hekdesh does the smoothing out, it doesn't exempt it. But we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Akiva mechayev b'chala v'maisos. Rabbi Akiva says that the leftover is obligated in chala, and the leftover grain is obligated in maestros. Lefi shelo nitnu mos alatzorach lahen, because originally, when they first bought the grain for the Omer, they only bought the amount of grain that they needed for the mitzvah. They didn't buy the extras. So the extras had never been sanctified initially. So that's why it's obligated in Meiser. Because it wasn't that Hekdesh wasn't in Mareach. Hekdesh smoothed it out and therefore it became obligated. It didn't become obligated. It wasn't smoothed out by Hekdesh. It didn't belong to Hekdesh, because it wasn't sanctified. When they originally bought the barley, they were only buying the amount that they needed. They were not buying the extra amount. The extra amount was never bought. Elam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, that's what's going on. Talmud Aruch Befitch Rabbi Akiva. It's a lengthy discussion in the mouth of Rabbi Akiva. Shalom nitnu mos el tzorach lahen. The reasoning of Rabbi Akiva is that the money was only given for that which was needed, so the extra amount was never sanctified in the first place. Amar Rava, Rava said, "Pshit to me, it's obvious to me. Meiruach Hekdesh Poter. If Hekdesh smooths it out, it does become exempt. Afilu Rabbi Akiva, even Rabbi Akiva lo kamachayev hasam, he only obligates the leftovers mipnei shlo nitnu mos el tzorach ben, because they were never consecrated in the first place. Avo miruach hektesh ba'alma, but if you have grain and when it belongs to the hektesh, it's smoothed out. Poter, it stays exempt from Meiser. What about if a non-Jew smooths it out? Meruach Ovid Kochavim? That's Tanoihi, that's an op. If when it was smoothed out, it belonged to a non-Jew, that is a machlokas Tanoim. Okay, we'll continue at that point tomorrow. Rabbi Tanoim ibn Akasha, may Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yisakosh Yisrael, V'yichachir B'lem Torah, Mitzvah Shanem, Adonai Chafetz L'Matzit, Koyak Dil Terev Yadir.